Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Vick, longtime NFL quarterback, is with us on the hotline now, an NFL analyst for Fox Sports. Michael, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, and a lot to talk about. We want to start with, you know, a couple weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, you made some comments about Lamar Jackson. We played him on this show where you said you think Lamar Jackson's going to be better than you were.
What I said that last year.
Oh, that was last year?
It was last year, yeah. That wasn't recent. That was last year.
Ah, interesting. Maybe somebody replayed it.
2017. Yeah, 2017. Okay. Well, that was a tweet.
Aha.
Uh-huh. That I tweeted out last year, and then it just continued to gain traction over the course of a year.
Gotcha. All right, thanks for the clarification. So
tell us
why you think we like Lamar Jackson, too. We've heard Bill Polian say that Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver. We think that's crazy. Tell us why you think he's going to be so good.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't tell you how good Lamar Jackson is going to be. Like, I wish I had a crystal ball that can tell you, because the NFL is just a fine line between success and failure. So when I was watching Florida State versus Louisville, I really felt as if Lamar was doing some things that, you know, in today's time, maybe, you know, I could have done or couldn't have done. But, you know, that's just a if. And right then and there, I just felt like he was doing some things that were special. And that was the only reason it came out like that. Now, it didn't necessarily mean that he was better than me in terms of, you know, an entire body of work. You know, I just felt like at the moment, you know, he was doing everything to gain the necessary traction to you know, get the credibility at the quarterback position that I thought he deserved.
Michael Vick is with us. Michael, you know, you play the position very similar to Lamar, and when you have that unique skill set, the speed, the athleticism, the arm, like all that stuff, don't you feel like you have to be in a system where the offense is going to allow you to utilize all your skills, not just, you know, try to put square peg into the round hole? I've been saying this for a while, Mike, that if Lamar's drafted by the Browns or whoever it may be, you got to look at some of the stuff he did in college and take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think any smart offensive coordinator, which there are plenty in the National Football League, will look at his game and say, okay, we have to, you know, construct the offense centered around the things that he do well, and it has to be centered around his skill set. In terms of going to a team that's going to try to make you a traditional guy, it takes away from, you know, the small things that you bring to the table that can be big additions to the offense, you know, over a long period of time. So, you know, it's a gift and a curse in terms of ability. And, you know, it's always a gamble as far as what team is going to draft you. And that team has to be a team that can see, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road and know that, like, okay, this is going to be a process where we have to evolve and help this guy change his game to becoming the player that we see he can be based on what he's done in college. Now, the NFL is a different game. You know, in college, the hashes are wide.
Yeah.
And the NFL is a lot tighter. And, you know, the runs aren't there. They have to be created. So you have to have a creative mind behind the guy, you know, as mobile as Lamar, you know, or a guy like Russell Wilson at the quarterback position. It's evident.
Mike, when you're a quarterback and you can run a 4-3, it's got to be tempting just to want to take off. Is you know, when you see a lane, you're like, I'm going to go do it. Is it tough, man, when you got that and you know you can do it, but you still want to try to play within the structure?
Yeah, it's tough. My mindset was always just let my natural abilities come out and not try to force it. Every time I tried to drop back and run and predetermine that I was going to run, I always ran into a pile of defenders, a linebacker that may have been blitzing us, a defensive line. So it can't be predetermined. You have to let your instincts play a huge part in it. I think it's about 98% of the time when you're in the pocket as a mobile guy that you take off running based on instincts, not because you say, okay, it's third and five. You know, I'm going to drop back, look down the field for 2 seconds, and then I'm going to take off and run. It never works out like that. And I felt like I was one of the best guys as far as, you know, creating, you know, lanes and breaking the defense down and creating space and moving the chains with my legs. And I still couldn't do it. So I know the guys that are playing now, whether it's college or professional, are not walking to the line saying, I'm going to drop back and I'm going to run the football. If they do, then they give their themselves no opportunity to progress as a passer because it works hand-to-hand. So you have to progress as a passer to become a good runner, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does. We're talking with former NFL quarterback, now Fox NFL analyst, Michael Vick. Michael, I wanted to get your take on another quarterback because we don't know. Lamar Jackson probably won't end up with the Browns. But one quarterback that maybe you know a little bit, Tyrod Taylor, both Virginia Tech guys, has been acquired by the Browns in a trade from Buffalo. I don't know how well you know Tyrod, if at all. I guess I'm just assuming because you went to the same college, even though it wasn't the same time, obviously. What can you tell us about him, and what do you think about his game?
Well, I think Tyrod's game has evolved over the last 3 years, and I've watched him get better and better. You're talking about a guy that's very efficient. Tyrod is one of those guys. He don't turn the ball over. Touchdown to interception ratio is out of this world. And you want a guy who's not going to give the ball to the defense. Yeah, he's going to, you know, move the chains. He's going to give you everything that he has, 100% effort. And his will to win is one of his superb abilities and qualities, you know, that's really trending for quarterbacks right now. It shows. It shows through the passion, and it shows through their work ethic, and then it shows on Sunday. So I think Cleveland should be excited that they have a guy who can go out and start the season off and maybe go out and get some big wins and help turn the franchise around. Now, we know it's a great possibility they're going to get, hopefully, Saquon Barkley to run behind Tyrod and maybe draft another quarterback for the future. You know, Tyrod just doesn't have to be, you know, a bridge guy. He can be a guy that can, you know, start for this team for the next 2 or 3 years, maybe find a certain level of success, and then the next young guy can come in and take over, whoever that may be. You know, it's all about progressing into the future, and I think Tyrod understands that.
You know, Mike, when you came into the league, you started just a handful of games your rookie year, right?
Only two games.
Was that because they didn't want to force the rookie in? Like, how does that go? Because we, you know, listen, last year the Browns, they forced DeShone Kizer to start, and it was a disaster. He was young, wasn't ready, and you know better than anybody because you played the position how tough it is to come into the league and start right away. So much you have to pick up and learn.
Yeah, well, I came from an offense in college that was run-oriented. We did have a ton of passing concepts, but our run game was so efficient that we leaned on that to win games and to put pressure on defenses. So, you know, my involvement and the way I, you know, came into the league was, you know, it was a notion that maybe Mike needs some time to, you know, develop as a passer. He needs some time to grow into the offense. And we still had Chris Chandler in front of me, and it was a great opportunity to sit back and learn. I think Dan Reeves took advantage of that moment. I'm glad he did because it helped me get ready for the following season. So it's always great when you have a guy in front of you that can, you know, help you, coach you, teach you, mold you, and you can sit back and watch and learn from him vicariously.
Michael, we've all, you know, watched your career. Obviously, you had a great career. We know what happened in the middle of your career. You spent time in jail. Obviously, you came back. You had success on the back end. And it appears you've cut, you know, you paid your debt. You from all accounts, you know, I've heard you've done a lot to support animal rights and stuff like that as you've gotten older. Talk about your journey and your career and your life and where you are now and what have you learned from all of it?
Man, it's just been a great journey throughout the ups and downs. I think I learned so much, and it made me the person that I am today. As far as guidance and being able to teach and being able to draw from experiences that can help the next generation of young up and coming student athletes. And, you know, I feel blessed that, you know, I have a strong team around me, and I had a strong team around me since I've been released from prison. And, you know, it catapulted me into a, you know, a high position where people look at me as sort of iconic, you know, not only because of football, because of things that I've been able to endure, and not because, you know, I had to endure those things. It's because I was willing and ambitious about making things right. And I think when your heart is in the right place and you have the right attitude, I think people gravitate towards you and they want to help you and they want to see you succeed. And I've just been surrounded by such a great group of people, even to this day. The team that helps, you know, keep the V7 brand going, that helps keep Michael Vick's life structured, you know, really is a telltale sign to, you know, how much people care. And, you know, I would love to build that for every young guy's, you know, entity or, you know, for their careers and whether it's career or post career, you know, they have an opportunity to grow and develop as individuals because you can't play ball for forever. And, you know, I'm just a living proof of, you know, somebody who, you know, made it out of a tough environment, tough situation, but had people, you know, surrounding me and people who invited me into their lives and helped me grow as a man. And I think at the end of the day, that's all you can be thankful for, you know, that you wake up every day and you have the opportunity to help people. And that's what I'm about now, helping people.
It's good to hear, Mike. It really is. Finally, last thing for me, I just want to get back to football for a minute here. You know, Joe Thomas played a decade, and he announces his retirement today.
He just retired.
He retires today. It's sad for Browns fans because he was like the one player they could gravitate towards. He was the one thing they could count on, even though he's a left tackle. How amazing is it, man? You played 13 seasons. Joe Thomas didn't miss a snap. 10,363 snaps. He didn't miss a snap in his career.
Joe Thomas is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Let me add that. And to see him go right now when, you know, they're bringing in Tyrod and about to draft a young guy, it's sad to see. I know it's tough for the Browns fans because, you know, everything was ascending. And then, you know, you have a pitfall like what happened with Joe Thomas. But, you know, his career is a career that should be celebrated. You know, I think the Browns fans had an opportunity to watch him play for 11 years and never seen him miss a snap. Always was dedicated. And for the next young guy that comes into the Browns locker room and gets his locker, they should try to live up to that standard. And he set a high standard for the Browns fans. And I think, you know, with John Dorsey now as the general manager and Hugh Jackson getting some help, and Tyrod coming in and a ton of draft picks, you know, it's a lot to look forward to, man. So, you know, it's sad that Joe will be leaving the game because we all love watching him play and appreciated what he did for the game. But, you know, everybody's time, you know, expires at some point. It has an expiration date, and his came, you know, sooner than we expected. But now it's up to the next generation to come in and fill that void.
Michael, you said before you know, the Browns need to take a young quarterback, but you did mention Saquon Barkley. We do not think the Browns should take Saquon Barkley at one. Well, not because we don't think he's good, Michael. But you got to get the quarterback. You got to get your quarterback at one. You know as well as anybody, it's the most important position, and they just signed Carlos Hyde. So I can't imagine they're going to take
him. Okay, I'm sorry because I'm out the loop.
I try
to tune into my NFL app, you know, as much as I can.
There's a lot happening, Michael. It's a busy day.
Too fast. You know, free agency, man. You know, it's releases. It's guys getting signed. So, Carlos Hyde fills the void. Okay, they can move on to the quarterback.
Got to get the quarterback.
Find another defensive piece. Absolutely. That's perfect.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, shout out to John Dorsey. He's doing a great job so far.
Yep. Absolutely. Michael, before I let you go, you mentioned the V7 Elite Playmaker Showcase. What's this all about? Tell us more.
Well, it's the V7 Elite Playmaker Showcase is a camp that I do, 10 different cities that we pick randomly, and try to go to areas where we're going to get a ton of kids to come out and have a big influence on them. And we put them through, you know, one-on-one drills. We do routes versus air. We do a quarterback challenge, a skills challenge, and we also do a ton of teaching in terms of, you know, off-the-field liabilities and things that, you know, can help these kids be better student athletes. So, you know, we wish we could go to, you know, all 50 states, but we try to pick, you know, 10 different states 10 different cities, where we'll get, almost perfect attendance and dedication from the kids. But it's not your average camp where we bring the kids out and they do jumping jacks and, they're running up and down the field and, you got them doing up-downs because you're trying to teach discipline. No, we bring a different skill set, a different mindset as far as wanting to be the best, giving them opportunities to go from three-star to four-star recruits and five-star recruits and just helping them strengthen their game and learn what success is really all about.
Michael, good stuff, man. We appreciate the time. Thanks, Mike, joining us.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Michael,
good luck out there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you too. Michael Vick.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.